A Haynes working group presents goals and questions for how to deal with solid waste. And the Skagway Assembly will review a White Pass plan to widen the railroad embankment. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The parent company of White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad has applied for an Army Corps of Engineers permit to put fill in the Skagway River. The fill would widen a railroad embankment and enable construction of a new siding track. White Pass says the 15,000 cubic yards of gravel and 3,000 cubic yards of riprap will widen the embankment more than 3,000 feet. The material would impact about 0.75 acres of the Skagway River on the west side of the main track. The permit application says the expanded embankment will allow the dozens of trains that operate on that route to pass each other without having to stop and wait. The company says this will increase safety, reduce fuel consumption, and improve efficiency. The permit is on the Skagway Borough Assembly agenda this week. The assembly will discuss what comments it wants to submit to the Army Corps. The public comment deadline is February 7th. Also at Thursday's meeting, the assembly will decide whether to take a step forward with a proposed school vocational education building. Four architecture firms submitted proposals for design services. A scoring committee favors the pitch from Architects Alaska. Former Skagway School student David Moore works for Architects Alaska and would lead the design work if his company's proposal is chosen. At its last meeting, the assembly adjusted its capital improvement project priorities in preparation for state funding requests. The assembly is now set to finalize the priority lists. The meeting is scheduled for 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. Enforcement, income, and a long-term contingency plan. Those are some of the things the Haynes Solid Waste Working Group said should be taken into account as they look at the big picture of how Haynes should deal with its trash. The group's ultimate goal is to form a solid waste management plan. But there are still a lot of questions about what that would look like. One of them is whether the borough might contract with a private company to enact mandatory trash pickup. Right now, each household is left to their own devices when it comes to disposing of trash. Interim borough manager Brad Ryan said the borough needs direction about what role it might play.
Some direction on, you know, how we're going to be involved in solid waste. You know, is it going to be an ordinance? Is it going to be a... What is the plan? Are we going to enact?
Mandatory trash pickup worries community members who don't generate a lot of waste after burning, recycling, and composting. Committee member Philip Reeves echoed that concern.
You start saying, I've got to pay so much a month to have every 2 weeks someone come around and pick up a garbage can, I won't use that service. I'll pay for it, but I won't use it.
He suggested having a voucher that would give residents the flexibility to choose what option they wanted. Melissa Aronson represents the Haynes Friends of Recycling. She said implementing a blanket tax for trash pickup would be messy. And practically, she has a hard time envisioning a trash can in front of her house for garbage collection.
In the summer, bears and dogs and ravens are tipping it over, and where I'm producing no litter, now I'm producing litter. And in the winter, it's going to blow over.
Aronson came to the meeting with a list of possible goals for the committee to work from. Many were centered on recycling or reducing litter. They include providing trash and recycling collection areas along the Haynes Highway, strengthening and enforcing regulations against backyard burning of toxic materials, and holding annual collection events for things like electronics and hazardous waste.
So there's a lot of ways in which we can expand the services that we provide that would cut down on the waste a whole lot.
She also suggested providing incentives for recycling. Sally Garten from Community Waste Solutions said she wants to see the solid waste plan take income into account.
If it's going to be an individual person rate or a per household rate, we need to consider the senior citizens, we need to consider the disabled, and the low-income families.
And she said there needs to be a focus on enforcement.
Even though we have something, how will it be enforced? Or what steps will be taken to prevent?
Riley Kaczynski represents the Chamber of Commerce in the group. He's also on the Haynes Friends of Recycling board. He said they need to be thinking further into the future.
No landfill lasts forever, and so what is the borough going to do to protect themselves when
the landfill is full. What's the contingency plan?
Garten said the landfill has been in operation since the 1970s, and they've not yet used half of it. The group plans to use these goals and suggestions to start outlining their solid waste management plan. Their next meeting is scheduled for February 6th. The Alaska Marine Highway has seen deep funding and service cuts as the state deals with a massive budget deficit. With the money running low, what are the system's prospects during this year's legislative session? As part of a Coast Alaska News series, Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at what Southeast lawmakers have to say.
Coastal lawmakers have heard from lots of constituents about fewer ferry sailings. One is Ketchikan Representative Dan Ortez, an independent whose district's linked to the mainland is a sailing or two south.
We used to be able to have choice of maybe three trips at least down to Prince Rupert during a week. Now it's been reduced to once a week, and even in the worst times of service, once a month. That's crazy.
The same is true for Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins, a Democrat whose district includes Petersburg and other island communities. He says once frequent service has dropped to a trickle.
That impedes Alaskans trying to live their lives, not to mention commerce, in a pretty significant way.
The region's lawmakers say it's about more than declining revenue. Recent House and Senate majorities have largely marginalized the voice of ferry port towns. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, who represents the region south of Juneau, points to disproportionately large cuts to the ferry system compared with other Department of Transportation programs.
And I'm hoping with the new legislative makeup that we'll be able to stabilize that and get some parity amongst the rest of DOT.
He's referring to the new bipartisan House majority, which put all of Southeast's representatives in leadership positions. Governor Bill Walker's budget proposal for the next fiscal year cuts marine highway spending by about 2%. That's far less than in recent years, but it's still enough to eliminate about 180 jobs, most on board two now unstaffed ferries in long-term storage.
But the problem is, we can't cut any more. You know, we just can't.
Juneau Senator Dennis Egan, a Democrat whose district covers northern Southeast, is among lawmakers hoping to block those cuts. Some hope to add a little funding, though others say increased efficiency is the key. Beyond the budget, the ferry system faces possible management changes stemming from this year's session. They're tied to a study recommending the Marine Highway be run by a public corporation overseen by a stakeholders' board. Ship, terminal, and other assets would remain the State Transportation Department's property. Juneau Representative Sam Keto III, a Democrat whose district includes Haines, Skagway, and a few smaller communities, says independent management could make the system more flexible and responsive.
They can tell us this is what the Marine Highway system will look like in 5 years. This is what our goals are for improving cost recovery, for decreasing costs, and I think they can do that very well within the public corporation framework.
Sitka Senator Stedman, a Republican, says it's a bad idea, at least for now. He worries lawmakers could use it as an excuse to cut funding.
Where's the revenue? My first question. If the state's subsidizing the Marine Highway 60, 70, 80 million a year, where's their revenue stream and how stable is it? Once that question's answered, then we can have some more dialogue on how we're going to operate it.
Whether it's governance or money, the region's legislators want the result to be a more predictable marine highway. Justin Parrish, a Democrat who represents Juneau's Mendenhall Valley, puts it this way.
People are depending upon the ferry service for medical transportation, for school transportation, and to make trips to buy necessities. I don't think that there's a sufficient degree of consistency and reliability right now.
We won't know whether any of this will happen until lawmakers pass a budget and possibly other legislation. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. And join us Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Governor Walker's State of the State Address. That's 7 p.m. tomorrow, January 18th.